2 years. How about what it is to be 2 years old as a church? There's a lot of things in life that excite us, you know, and I don't think anything excites us more, though, than the news of expecting a child. And when I say excite, I mean sometimes it freaks us out, right? Sometimes it just fills us with joy and excitement. We begin to anticipate. We dream different when we're in womb than we do when we're all by ourselves. There's something about the legacy that we feel. There's something about what comes next. There's something about touching a life and life coming after us. There's something about that. When we become parents, that is all kinds of exciting. The news of expectation. The news that something is coming that we've never seen before, that we're going to get to know, that is going to change potentially our lives, and certainly a life that we're going to get to change and impact. New life is special, and when we reduce life to what is important, we come to be thankful for the great gift of life itself. You know, none of us would be here if it wasn't for a birthday. Birthdays are special, aren't they? Today, we kind of come with a double dose of birthday. We come learning the second emotion that we're going to discuss about Christmas, the emotion of joy. And to bring it into perspective, last week we looked at love, and the vehicle we talked about to look at love was that of gift giving. It does remind us of love, but when it comes to joy, the gift of life itself brings joy to us. After we become parents, for some of you, you've experienced that joy at a new level when you touch that third generation. You call it grandkids. And you never tire. It's fun because you show off those pictures. You can't wait for the next trip to go and see whether they live two doors down or five states away. And it fills you with joy. And today we celebrate the joy of the birth of Jesus Christ, as well as the joy of the birth of the Refuge Christian Church. And today we're simply going to consider the parallels of these two things as we recall that first Christmas and the events surrounding it. If you have a Bible, you're going to want to be in Matthew chapter 2 and in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to try to just snapshot a couple of things because our point we're drilling towards today is this. Both Jesus' birth and the birth of the church give us reasons to feel joy. And we're going to look today at a couple of those reasons that we feel joy when we celebrate Jesus Christ and when we celebrate what it is to be a part of His church. And the first reason that we find for joy is that we found the real star. We have joy and excitement because we found the real star. Now, not everyone in the first century followed the star that first Christmas. Are you with me? I mean, there were people that totally missed it. There were people that did not even understand that there was a new star in the sky that hung over a location. Which is weird to me because I look up at all the stars in the sky and I'm going, how would you define where that one's hanging over, right? I mean, this is just nuts to me. These guys, before GPS came to be, had found a system to decide what was straight up. And I know traditionally we talk of it being three, and we only describe three because we know that there were three different types of gifts that they brung, but the wise men of the first century, they followed a star. In a similar way, not everyone who dons the door of a church comes to know and have a relationship with the real star. In the same way that those who lived among Jesus and those who live around a church, who even come into a church, who come to recognize a church, not everyone gets to experience the full effects of the real star, and therefore not everybody experiences the joy that we see spring out of that first Christmas and what it is to celebrate the newness of a church and a community. I confess to you that growing up in a Christian home, that I grew up going to church out of obligation. It was when I began to study God's Word on my own that I began to see glimpses of light. And it was in these glimpses of light that I become aware of texts like we read in Psalm 119 that say this in verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." I began to get near this star, and it shone in such a way that I began to get glimpses of it. And as I followed this light, what I began to see was not enough. See, I needed to see the giver of that light. I needed to see the thing that was sending forth that light, that was illuminating this truth into my world. And the Word of God pointed me there. These were Jesus' words that he shared with some of the Pharisees in the first century. At the start of his ministry in John chapter 5, he's telling them, "Hey guys, you've missed it. You've been in the shadows and you missed the very thing creating the shadow." He says, "You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me, but you're not willing to come to me so that you may have life." In chapter 1, it says that the light had come into the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not receive him. And there I was, not receiving him, understanding that there was something special about this light. And as I drew nearer through the Word of God, it was verses like this that made me even go back and study the Old Testament again and find that, wow, Jesus is in fact there. When he says that he fulfilled it, now I understand what it is that he fulfilled it. God's Word did indeed point me to the light of the world. And when I finally came to Jesus, I found the real star. If you got your Bibles there, look at Matthew chapter 2 with me. In Matthew chapter 2, just enjoy this story with me, beginning in verse 1. We're just going to look at 12 verses. I'm not going to get to go over all of them with you. It's mostly narrative anyways. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet." In Micah we read, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men, and he asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me, so that I can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. See, the star of the first Christmas was known only by wise men. And it was not the star that they followed. I believe it was the baby king who lay beneath it. When they saw the star and that they had arrived to find the king beneath it. So that we read there in verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Man, I began thinking about that this week. When I take a trip, I've made sure somebody's been there first. I checked their Google ratings. Did they like it? But I'm thankful that there's still some good old Lewis and Clarks still out there, right? and that they were in the first century. There were some adventure seekers that said, you know what, there's something different and special. Special enough to leave a distant country and go on a long journey not knowing what they would find. And yet it wasn't until they were at the place where the star stopped that they were overwhelmed with joy. Might have been anxiety before that. I don't know what the emotion was before that. But I know from the scriptures that they were overwhelmed with joy because they began to see that which the light pointed to. The wise men found the real star and they worshiped him. Friends, the star of the Refuge Christian Church is the very same Jesus who put on flesh and dwelt among us in the first century. It's not a planter and his family. It's not those of us who joined us before our first worship service. My question for you individually and us corporately is, have we found the real star of Christmas? The real star of the church. Maybe we've been content to wrestle with the anxiety of the shadows, might even have taken us to explore a journey. But if we've been overwhelmed with joy because we find that there is a star greater than the one that shines in the sky, that's what we see in the disciples. When Jesus calls them out of their boats and out of their tax collecting booths, that's where I was as a 12-year-old boy when I finally came to understand the scriptures I was reading that pointed to a Savior and a Redeemer of my life. And someday, if it has not happened as of yet, I hope for you that you too will find the real star of Christmas, hopefully this Christmas. Another reason for joy when it comes to the birth of Jesus and the church is its message is for everyone. The second reason we find here is that its message is for everyone. Why is that a reason for joy? Is simply this. That includes me and it includes you. It includes us. I've met too many people that wondered if God cared about them. And this stems from an understanding of who we are and who we've been. We're not content with who we were. We're not content and happy with what we've done. And so we think, well, certainly this God cannot love us. Certainly this God's offer of peace and hope, that's for those good people out there that have cleaned themselves up first, right? That's for those churchgoers. That's certainly not for somebody kicking the tires of this, somebody who's never read the book, somebody who's still getting a glimpse from the outside looking in. Surely that's not for me, right? This God certainly is just for the select few that give him more time and attention than I have up to this point. I received a phone call last week, someone cussing me out because I delivered a door hanger at their home. I didn't know them, nor did I have a conversation with them when I left the door hanger. I was not soliciting. I was merely inviting them to church today. I never saw their face. I don't know what they look like. I know it was a guy. He only saw mine on the front of the door hanger. That's the danger of those things, man. I got to do better next time I make one of those, make sure my picture's not on there. That way they want them going after one of you. Yeah. But you know what? This week, I found my heart breaking for an individual like that. I didn't mind the voicemail. It gave me an opportunity to pray for a soul that is the very reason why we came here 2 years ago. Because this message is for everyone. The message of the church is for the likes of this man and for every other individual who despises and rejects it. It's also for all of us who've believed on it and those who are checking it out even for the first time. Okay. Let me step aside from the message for a moment. Clayton. Clayton, you want to come sit up here with me for a minute? Yeah, cool. I'll let you. Come on, right here. Be good. This will be all right. Here, I'll help you up here, okay? Rule is you got to stay here until I tell you to get down, okay? Cool. Thank you, bud. So glad you're here today, Clayton. This is not a part of it, but I'll roll with it. Because let me just add this. When we say this is for everyone, that includes Clayton. And that includes every one of you. I'm going to step aside from my sermon for a minute to share with you the joy that we have for the state of the refuge. You know, a couple times a year, it's kind of fun to just reflect and to share together as a congregation what it means to be His church. As this region has grown, so has the need for more churches. In the last 25 years, Eudora has doubled. You think about that. The number of churches has stayed the same, and the attendance in the churches as a whole have not doubled. The need here is real. There was a need, and so that's why we came to this region, because we need churches in this growing region, and we will need them until everyone everywhere has heard and believed in Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's why we came. We are on mission. What is our mission? We like to say here at the Refuge Christian Church that we are restoring relationships with God one life at a time. And we like to say that because we believe it, because we care about everyone. That's why we've come. In our second year, we've grown. We now average 88 a Sunday. After today, we might get up to 90. Well done. It's kind of neat when everybody shows up on the same week, right? It's kind of fun. But you know what? This number is not necessarily important. It does indicate that we've grown. Those are fun indicators. We have to look at those. But the numbers aren't important. The people that represent those numbers, that's what's important. Notice where this compares. I've got a chart for you to see where this compares. Nationally, the average church plant at its second birthday is 74 people on a Sunday. That's exciting. We're ahead of that curve because we're also in a town that's population is much less than the population of the towns where the average churches get planted. Because let's be honest, people are the commodity of the church, right? And so most church planting organizations want you to go where there's more people. And so when we picked the smallest town of the six towns we could have planted in, and we did it on purpose, we still believe that small churches or small towns need good pastors and good churches. We came on purpose to this community, and we felt well received. That's what that represents. The average church in America is really barely bigger than the second-year-old church at 74. It's averaging 75. So we're already bigger than the national average. We're bringing her up for them. Hey, that's good. The average church plant at year 5 averages 90 people on a Sunday from Barna's study and research. In year 2, another exciting milestone is we celebrated 8 baptisms, now up to 12 total since we've started as a church. Again, people saying that they want to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord, coming into obedience with the New Testament scriptures, that we hear the gospel, we believe it, and we respond to that belief in repentance, confession, and baptism so that we can live no longer for ourselves, but for Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. This year, we've grown our future land and building. If you didn't know, when you give to the Refuge Christian Church, we put 10% currently. We started out, we were able to put 40% because our outside support was heavy and strong. So we were able to put 40% of our local tithes and offerings away. Now we're still putting 10% away so that we now currently have $56,534.16 earmarked for a future land and building because this is not our home at 2 years. Isn't that exciting? The reason why when people ask me, will you have a building someday, I can say yes because I've got the proof of what that looks like. Clayton, would you like to go back to class? You want to go back to your class? Okay, cool. Stay right there with me. You're doing great. If you want to go, I'll watch him. Yeah. Cool. We're good. You're being really good. I'm proud of you, by the way. Okay, but stay right here for me, okay? Thank you. All right, through our first 2 years as a church, This is exciting. This is another milestone that's exciting to me. We've given now $14,434.04 back to church planting. Another thing that people maybe don't realize is that we've made an agreement with our networks planting, the two organizations that are planting us, that until we've paid back their gift of $175,000, that 10% of our tithes and offerings are the start of our missions fund. It's going to be so that other communities have a church like ours. I shared in October, Winfield, Kansas, college town in southern Kansas, had a family, Chris Hedges and his family, moved to town there. I talked with him on the phone a week and a half ago just to encourage him. You know, they're in that place where they're just getting to meet people, trying to find out who the people that are going to be helping them start the church. An exciting time. But new churches are starting because we're continuing to be able to partner with other churches to give back, to see that other communities get the blessing that we have, so that a couple years from now, there's going to be another church celebrating like we're celebrating today in Winfield, Kansas. Isn't that exciting? Because this isn't just for us, is it? This is for everyone. This excites me. This coming year in 2018, we're going to come off of our outside support. Think about that with me. You know what 2018 means for us as a church? Friends, we are going to be autonomous this year. You planted a church. That's what this means. That jacks me up, obviously, because this is something that I was scared about. We sing that song, "I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear." I was worried about this. And frankly, there's still some nerves on this. Right? Can I be honest and real with you? But I know this is going to be a reality. This year becomes our church. Look at this chart for the last few years. On this chart, this is what it's looked like up to this point. In 2017, you can see 15 and 16 there, we've averaged offerings of $1,762 a week up to this point. Notice that's an increase of about $500 a week from last year's average. Next year, we're going to need to see that increase to the point of, you know, we've gone to be skinny. You'll notice that this year, we had a budget of around, and by the end of this year, it's going to be closer to that $160,000 mark. Our budget next year, we were able to drop it down to about $135,000 to $140,000. So we're being as skinny as we can be, and we're still going to have some outside support, but it's graduating. We're going to have about $7,500 of outside support. And whatever we don't cover in the green in 2018, Jeremiah Holcomb gets to fundraise for. But you know what I know? That God wants to see this church in this region. So I know whatever that it's going to take, we're going to do it together, right? Because as we shared at the breakfast this morning, I think that there's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind, and I doubt there is in yours, that this region needs us here. And so we, the church, are going to be the church, and that's exciting to me when you think about where we came. And again, to me, these numbers don't mean anything to me. It's the faces. When I look at this crowd, I, outside of my wife and my kids, I think I knew Josh and Lauren Worley, and that's it. We came on faith. God showed up, and He prompted you to show up, and you showed up. That's what excites me about being the church. Go ahead and go to that next slide for me there as I head back into this. We were sharing that the message of the gospel is for everyone. It's for everyone, and we don't do this for numbers. We do this because we want everyone to be in a right relationship with God. And to God, it's always been this way. Consider the words that He gave to Isaiah the prophet. These are the words that He gave to Isaiah the prophet at the start of his ministry. Really, he was already doing, he was already hearing messages from God, but now God is sending him out again. He's saying, look, you need to speak up for the people. But this is what he says. The Lord says, it is not enough for you to be my servant, raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones of Israel. Okay, Holcomb, you just spoke a foreign language to me. What's that mean? This is what that means. Isaiah was a prophet to his people who were the Israelites, the children of Jacob, whom God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And God says, it's not enough for you to just go to them and tell them, hey, it's about you following God, because God has never been a God of the Israelites only. I think that is the biggest mistake of the Old Testament. The reason why we have the Israelites is because he made a promise to Abraham that through your seed, I'm going to bless everybody, but I need a vein to send that through. And that vein was the tribe and the line of Abraham, whom the promise then happened through his son Jacob, his grandson Jacob, whose God changed his name to Israel. When he reminded him, now Jacob, the promise has come to you. Through your seed, every generation of the earth will be blessed. Every generation. That includes nations, general as it does specific. That means everybody. This has never been about a nation. This has always been about a promise. A promise whom God fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And this is for everyone, and it's always been that way. Look how the verse concludes. I will also, it's not enough, I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth. God has always been a God for everyone. So when we say we are restoring relationships with God one life at a time, we know that in order to get to everyone, it's got to start with one. And God has always been about that business of everyone. God's message is for everyone. The tribe of Jacob, the Israelites, fulfilled the promise to Abraham and to David so that the promise could always be for everyone. And then we saw it again when Jesus came, didn't we? If you have your Bibles there in Luke chapter 2, I memorized it as a boy in the NIV, and so that's where I always like to share it from, because this text will always be here, and it'll always be NIV. I think it's hard to memorize verses in multiple translations. But it says, after Jesus was born and placed in the manger, because there's no room for them in the inn, in verse 8, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for everyone, all the people. You hear that? God said to the shepherd through an angel, and the word angel literally means a messenger, that I bring you good news of great joy. This is exciting. That is for everyone. This is for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It says, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, like, put yourself in their shoes, right? This is funny to me. I mean, God's got a great sense of humor. The angels left them, gone to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Like they weren't going to check it out, right? So let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the angels told us about. So it says, so they hurried off and found Joseph and Mary and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, who is the message for? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And everyone who heard it, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned,
glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. You don't got to be a preacher to share the good news. Shepherds were as low as they come. I think that was prophetic in its own way. That of all the people God could have taken the news to, he could have taken it to the self-absorbed pastors. Instead, he took it to the lowly shepherds, those who would be faithful to fulfill the promise, sharing the good news. Friends, this good news of great joy is still for all the people. I don't know what you came into this room believing today, but a Savior has come. Thousands of years before the refuge came to your door, the Savior has come. Like the shepherds, when we've searched and discovered the truth about this child, that he is, in fact, the Savior of the world, we cannot help but share this good news with others. See, friends, Jesus is, in fact, the star of Christmas, and he still is for everyone. But this is the challenge. Don't let the busy nature of Christmas cause the real star to slip our grasp. Let's not get caught up in the glow of the lights and the glitter and the presents and the festivities so that we miss the most important piece. There is a birth, and it gives us reason to celebrate, even as a young church, to celebrate what it means to continue to share this gift with others, because it is for everyone. And that's why we've come. When you ask your neighbors to join you and they say no, it's okay. They're not rejecting you. And their last chapter isn't written yet, so keep asking them. Maybe not 2 days in a row. Give some time there. God is patient. Remember how he was patient with you? I'm sure thankful he's been patient with me. But he's in the business of wanting everyone to come and to know him. And so sometimes he does extravagant things, like prompting couples that are in comfortable ministries to leave and to start new things, because he is not happy with his kingdom becoming stagnant. He wants to see it grow, because it's for everyone. These are the reasons for joy the first Christmas. They're the same reasons for joy every time a church stays on mission and continues to point to restoring relationships with the Lord. The bottom line today is simply this: Jesus, the star of the first Christmas, is for everyone. He's for you. He's for everyone you come in contact with on your route, in your circle of influence, the friends that your children bring home, the parents of those friends. He is for everyone. We're going to do something special as we wrap up our service today. And I need to announce that we did have a wonderful breakfast before the service. Please be sure to get your stuff. As a portable church, we don't have the convenience of being able to store your forgotten crockpots for a week. Like when we have that building someday and all of those things, then we can do that. We can, you know, set up the row and put your name on it. Your name's already going to be on it. But so get your stuff. And some of the things, like store-bought things, haven't even been opened out there. So you're going to get to bless your family this week. So enjoy that. And I think that if you want to snack on that after the service, please do that. But so that's my only announcement that I have there. Other than, can I just say this? Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the fulfillment of the prompting that God put on my family. It's special to us. So I'm going to close our service in prayer with you. And this is how I want us to do it. We like to say here at the Refuge that we're family. So let's stand together as family. And if you're a first-time visitor with us today, I forgot an announcement earlier, but we've got connection cards. They're in these black boxes out here. Those who are counting our offering today that black envelope is in my bag, and I didn't even get that where it was supposed to go. We got here early, and I was excited. This is good. I'm all sorts of messed up today, so thanks for grace today as well. But we're going to stand together as family, and I want us to just, if you're on the outsides, come on in, and I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you. If you're the only person in your row, go to a row with people. You'll like it better. Because Refuge Christian Church, I want you to know, I want you to know that we didn't come here for 2 years. We came here for everyone. And we anticipate being here a long time with you. And it's going to take all of us together to reach everyone. And so let's be the church together. And I'm just going to close us in prayer as we celebrate really what it is to be His church. God, thank you for today. A reminder that you did come into this world. And God, that resulted in joy in the first century for these men of adventure who journeyed a great distance because of an excitement of something they didn't know. And God, when they found you, they couldn't help but worship you because you were their king. And God, we recognize they were not Israelites. And yet they were yours. And in the same way, months prior, these shepherds had heard your great truth on the very day that you put on that flesh, and they went in to check out what you told them, and they found it to be true, that you, the Savior of the world, had come, and it resulted in joy. And God, we live among a people that are broken, that need your joy. Some are in this room. We're confused by family members that are on the brink of life, stepping soon into the darkness that is death. For others, we had the excitement of life, and our pregnancies didn't make it, and so it's resulted in hardship and conflict. Still others, things at work haven't panned out the way we've wanted them to, and so we did not get the promotion, or worse yet, we were asked to move on, and it pained us, and it still pains us. Some, the bills are so steep, they wonder how they're going to make it to tomorrow, and yet God, when we look into the manger, we recognize a perspective that is so much grander than this life. And so help us to understand what it is to be your church. We are not the Savior. It's not about getting people to like us. It's about getting people into relationship with you so that they become one of us and then they have to like us. Because your body's bigger than this room. And we pray for the other churches in this region that are proclaiming your truth this day. The other churches in this town. God, might your word rise up. Might your truth continue to surface and it resonate in others. Be with the churches in Lawrence and Kansas City, the churches that are reaching our neighbors and our friends. And God, we don't have to be competitive. We're on the same team, pointing people back into that right relationship with you. And help us to understand our role and our place in that so that you will get the victory and then the glory in every one of those situations because you are our King, our Savior, and our Lord. And we are your body, your people. And as we go from here today, God, help us to go with the assurance that we are, in fact, children of God. No longer slaves to fear. Because you reign supreme. You came, you were born a king. And you reign forever. In Jesus, we celebrate today. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being in the church. You guys have a blessed week. Normally we end with a song. We're not...